I mean, I'm struggling this morning because they promised me the air would be on and it's not on again. Frustrated, yes, but we're still going to have a word. Amen. There's a lot going on in the body of Christ today, and I have a little bit of a teaching spirit on me today, so I'm just going to obey God. I was thinking about some things and asking myself, why does it have to be such a struggle when we love God? Come on. I'm the only one in the house this morning. Like we fight, we argue, we get upset, we all of us been there, come on. Right? Mad at the raising gas prices, mad at, and I'm learning, maybe it's because I stayed up late last night praying after some things, and I'm learning that the one thing the enemy wants to send your way, church, is he wants to bring doubt to you. And so I showed you that video because one thing Steve Harvey said is, if you never jump, you'll never know what God has for you. And oftentimes, we have a trouble with this, control. We all struggle with giving God control of our life. Because we, by nature, watch this, church, we, by nature, want to make sure we have everything under our control. Because that way I know it'll work. That way I know it'll happen. And so, I looked at a set of scriptures the other day, and I didn't know if the Lord was going to allow me to speak this, but because of something personally happened in my life, and I'll share it a little bit later in the sermon, he brought me to this scripture. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, look at this, church, when they heard that he was going somewhere, they followed him. Watch this, church. They followed him on foot from the cities. Now, and when Jesus went out, he saw, someone say, a great multitude. And here it is. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. He didn't do it for fame. He didn't do it for fortune. He didn't do it because, look what I did. The thing that we're missing in society right here is compassion. All of us. Come on, somebody. I'm guilty of that. Sometimes my compassion fuel gauge is very low. But Jesus teaches us, no matter what, we're supposed to have compassion. He said he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now watch. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away. So the disciples said, we had church, you healed them, now send them away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food. So watch what Jesus says. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You see, he fed them spiritually, but now he wants to do something more. Some of the most successful ministries are those that, like at the Center of Hope, by the way, we had an awesome Center of Hope this past week. It's probably the fullest I've ever seen in the 10 years we've been going. It was pretty full, wasn't it, Ron? Oh, you weren't there, that's right. I forgot, it was just a women's night. It was only, I didn't have no brothers helping me. I had all the women of the church helping me. And they'd actually set it up better than the guys do, so. Yeah, sorry, you got some competition, Ron. But we had an awesome Center of Hope. And one thing they do successful there is, after they get done feeding them, they go to chapel. Part of their night is after they eat, they go to chapel, okay? So Jesus is saying, he says, you know, we ministered to them, we prayed for them, we've healed them, but don't send them away. Give them something to eat. Now watch this. And they said to Jesus, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, some would say multitude. Now, if you know anything about math, some of us aren't very good with math, but I'm pretty down to earth with math myself, but five loaves and two fish is not going to feed a multitude. But see, the one thing Jesus is going to teach us this morning, he didn't ask how much they had. He said, what do we have? Look what he said. And they said to him, we have here only, watch this church, key word, only five loaves and two fish. He wasn't concerned what he had. He's concerned that he has something. I want you to get this before I go any further with this word today. We have so much on us, but we don't give it to God. Let me say it again. Someone said he wasn't concerned how much he had. Someone said it's what we have. You don't think Jesus knew it was a multitude? Listen to me. The problem is not filling this church up. We can have a revival. People will come to revival. We can have a guest speaker. We can do all that. The biggest struggle is they'll come once and not come back. Had a great service. But if your service is a time in the Cowboys game, it ain't going to happen. And I was at the fair yesterday for the Texas OU game. 200,000 people there, Elder Vic. Acting crazy for the Longhorns and Oklahoma. Okay? And we're going across to the fair, and there's a ministry on Malcolm X Boulevard just at the entrance of the fair. And they're preaching, and these young girls next to me and this, you know, college kids were mocking this preacher. And he had a sign, the end of the world is coming, and repent now. And so I went over, when we entered, I went and prayed with one of the guys. I prayed for his ministry. And as we was leaving, I heard a lot of mocking, and they were mocking this preacher, and oh yeah, the end is, they were mocking. Let me tell you where we are in the Bible. As in the days of Noah, they'll be eating and drinking and mocking and giving into marriage, and then the end is coming. For those that don't know the Lord or have a relationship with the Lord, you better watch your words. Because I'm telling you, he is going to return. And we need to get ourselves right for the flight. Come on, somebody. And you can doubt all you want that God is not real. But guess what? For those sitting in your house right now, how did you get that job? How'd you get that house? How'd you get that 75-inch TV? Maybe 100-inch, I don't know. Maybe some of you have 100 that you're about to watch the Cowboys at 3 o'clock. You see, whether we want to understand it in church or not, everything still goes back to God. Someone say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Elder Vic, are you on the earth? So who created it? You see what I'm getting at, folks? So we can doubt all we want that Jesus is a healer and Jesus is a way maker, but I will show you how good my God is. Someone say, amen. So I decided this past week that I was going to trust God and not doubt. I consulted some friends. Elder Ron was one of them. And I said, if I don't take the full-time position at my hospice company in Fort Worth, I'm going to lose 54 patients. I thought it was going to be like $1,600, $1,700. End up being like $2,200. A month, Victor. If you'd have said that to Glow, nah, baby. Victor be like, but Glow said, you better figure it out, baby, but you better go do it. So as I decided, I gave him to that new chaplain, and I just said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. All of a sudden, they took all my Mansfield patients, my Grand Prairie patients, and Arlington patients and gave them to Fort Worth. So what I thought was going to have 15 patients, your pastor now has a grand total of zero patients. So I'm not losing 1,600, 1,700. I'm losing 2,200, 2,300. If Glow was my wife, I'd be in trouble. But someone said, when you got what you got, bless it. So I told them, I'm not taking it full time. And I said this to the director, God has something for me. He said, you're going to stay with CARE? I said, yeah. He said, well, you know, CARE don't have no patients in Mansfield or the other brand right now. They said, we're transferring you to Alpha Omega, but you're just not going to have no patients. I said, God will provide. So I left Envoy Fort Worth with no patients on Friday. Walked out the office, my phone goes off, Vic. I just gave up all the patients, my whole check. So I'm not going to have another check for Envoy Fort Worth. I will next week because I'm working in Denton next week to help them out. And my phone goes off. It's a friend of mine, another pastor, does hospice. He said, hey, Pastor Mike, I hope you don't mind, but I gave your information to somebody. They're going to be calling you. He goes, the Lord put it on my heart. He didn't know anything that was going on. I said, what'd you do? He said, if they call you, just answer the phone. An hour later, I get a call from a strange number. I says, Pastor Mike, yeah, hi, this is so-and-so with da-da-da-da-da. He said, would you be interested in a full-time position with benefits? Come on, somebody. And an auto allowance. However, it's in Weatherford, Springtown. You know where Springtown is? What's that? 55 miles, something like that? Okay, that area. I said, yeah, why? I said, what's the name of your company? Beyond Faith Hospice. Am I making this stuff up, Josh? Am I making it up, Ron? And me and Josh looked it up. They have an office in Wichita Falls, Lubbock, Graham, and they opened a new office in Weatherford. That's why they need a full-time chaplain. I have an interview tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Come on, somebody. Come on. So I'm trying to tell you, when you get what you get and you give it to God, church, He already has something else for you. Someone say, don't doubt. God will provide. He'll see. So what's what he said? He said, I didn't ask you how much we have. I asked you, what do you have? He said, all we have is two fish and five loaves of bread. Look at this. And he said to them, here's what he said. And he said to them, bring it here to me. Now, the moment Jesus is speaking, he's saying, I'm not concerned how much it is. I'm only concerned a something tangible. Someone say something tangible. That's why I tell you all to tithe what you're supposed to tithe. I'll tell you why. It's not the fact that God's trying to get your money. Because people and money are funny. Oh, no, same thing. Money, people. But what I've been trying to tell you is God cannot bless what he don't have. Okay? So he's saying, bring it to me. Someone say, bring it to me. Here's what he said. Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he, look what he, and I want y'all to get this because this is the main part of this text. He took the five loaves and two fish, looking up to heaven, and he did what, Glow? He blessed it. I'm going to say it again. He told them to sit down, the multitude, on the grass because they're about to eat. Now, if you're in the moment where I am back in the day, if we were there, all I kept thinking about was his disciples was like, how is two fish and five loaves of bread going to feed the multitude? And in the other translation, the multitude could have been thousands, Vic. But a multitude is a lot. Not just us here. Two fish and five loaves of bread would feed us in this church this morning. But a multitude is probably what we saw at the state fair yesterday. A multitude. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it. I want you to understand. He blessed it. Someone say, blessed it and broke it. I want you to get this. Anything that's part of the sum, when you bless it, will become part of that other piece of that blessing if it's part of the original blessing. Let me get you to understand this. So he blessed, someone say he blessed the whole, so that the pieces could be multiplied. Okay? He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. Now watch this. Someone say they all ate and were filled. I don't know if you got that. Someone say they all ate and they were filled. This is how my God does it. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets. 12, 12, 12. I want you to understand this. 12 representing the number of disciples. It was a teaching moment. A lot of preachers don't break this stuff down. If there was 12 disciples and they doubted, he had to give each one a blessing. There was 12 baskets. You think God just put that number 12 in there for no reason, Vic? Oh, God said, oh, there must have been 12 baskets. No, no. It represents a teaching moment that he's trying to show his disciples. Why are you doubting? Why did you doubt that God can bless this little bit? And they took up 12 baskets, watch this, church, full of fragments that, someone say, that remained. Here is the breakdown of this scripture. Jesus already knew that there was doubt amongst his ministry. Because the statement they made was, another translation said, Master, even a year's wages wouldn't even feed this multitude. You see, I got to share something with you right now. I would rather have 4 faithful than 50 doubters. Let me say it again. I'll prove it to you. There was a place that Jesus came to do a miracle, and he was going to raise that little child from the dead. And he said, you, and you can go, but the rest you can't go in because you're going to hinder the miracle because you have doubt. Let me tell you something. I, for the rest of the year, do not want to hang around doubters in my life. Come on, somebody. If you don't think God can, fine, find your way, but get away from me. Oh, my God, I'm probably going to lose some people online this morning. Because we doubt too much that God can do something. And Satan loves to tell you you're not going to make it. He'll tell you you don't have to be in church to be blessed. You don't have to be in church to be perfect. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says we're not to forsake ourselves gathering together as some are in the habit of doing, okay? The Bible says each one of us, and I'm just going to share this with you. I wish it was me out there preaching yesterday. I praise God for that guy. Instead of going to eat a corn dog, he was preaching Jesus. And he was sweating. And they kept mocking him and talking about him, and he kept on preaching. What a joke. Look at that. Oh, okay, the world is ending. They were mocking him, Glow. And he was trying to hand out Bibles, little Bibles. They wouldn't take it, And so I felt led to just walk up to him and pray with him. I wasn't embarrassed. Wasn't ashamed. We're living in a world that has become godless. Oh, my God, now I'm stepping on some toes. I really ain't going to get no folks come to church now, but that's okay. We're living in a godless society that has no time for God. We're living in a society that people want to have God on their convenience. Come on, somebody. I will praise you as long as it doesn't interfere with my plans. Amen? By far, if you look at churches, the capacity of people going to church has gone down. Because one or two reasons. The pandemic has taught us one thing. is that Satan likes to separate us. Okay? So now we're out of the post-pandemic, and when people should be getting back to God, they're saying, oh, I can go to Six Flags in the morning because I know they're going to archive the sermon. I'll get my sermon later. Two reasons why they want to do that. One, they don't feel convicted to be in the house of the Lord. Second of all, they don't feel convicted to support. I can watch online for free. Okay? And we're living in a society that we have forgotten to give God some praise. Let me share something with you, church. You may not need him now, but there's coming a day you'll need him. And so Jesus says, and I don't know what it is this morning. Maybe I've stepped in some bold shoes this morning. I don't know, but I was so drawn back at the fact that all these people yesterday were excited about the game and getting a corn dog and all that. But here's a lonely soul of God preaching his heart out. And all they can do was mock and make fun of him. And it just broke my heart. I felt convicted because I went in to enjoy myself. And that's why I felt convicted to pray with him. So Jesus is telling him, he said, all y'all are doing is doubting the fact that I can do it. And not only did he feed the people that he ministered to, who he healed, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remain. Now watch this. This is so important, guys. God gave me two burdens that we have for this church and this city and this ministry. Number one, our need for full understanding of our call to this city and the work we have ahead of us to grow the ministry and win this world for Christ. If you don't have a burden for the lost, something's wrong, church. If you have family members in your house that's not saved, that should be a burden to you. If they spend more time doing other things than the things of God, that should be your personal ministry, a burden to say, I need to teach you and show you how God has been good to me. Let me tell you something. Victor ain't got nothing in his life up to this point until he gave himself to God. He thought it was him. It was never him. God was always providing. And so I'm feeling like the body of Christ has lost their burden for the lost souls. You know why? Because, somebody else will get it. Somebody else will do it. I mean, you know what the worst thing I've ever heard is? Someone told me, they said, man, there's just too many ministries in the city. In my book, there's not enough. We have to, listen to me, we have to have a burden for the city we live in. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, I'll give you Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. Judea is where you live. Samaria is a little bit further out. And the othermost parts of the world is where he wants you to reach. We've been in this church, talk about our ministry, we have been in a stagnant place for so long. It's true. Went through the pandemic. For 8 months, it was just me and Ron. He ran the camera and I was preaching. Then when he got up here, I ran the camera. We didn't even have a camera back then. It was our iPhone. A tripod on bricks. God has upgraded us to some nice equipment. But what I'm saying is, we have lost the burden for the city we live in. To be honest with you, just by the people represented here, this church should at least have 50 people in this morning because of people we know. Come on, somebody. And I don't want to hear, they go to another church. They don't even go to church because I know who your family is. You can say, amen, Bonita. Can't use that excuse. They go to another church. No, they don't, because I know your family. They don't go to church. Family? Your family? Yes. I can count off 15 right now, just your side. Someone say amen. Amen. Victor? Bro, at least 20. That's 34 people right there. You were laughing, but true. Because we've forgotten the burden. Let me just put this in your spirit, church, and those online this morning. When we hear, it's too late. I'm telling you right, I'm not trying to scare you, but when you hear that trumpet, it's too late. Don't wait for the trumpet, church. I'm not telling you to come to church just to be part of our church. And I'm telling you to get your teaching and your learning prepared for what's going to happen. We need to have a full understanding. And don't doubt what God's going to do in this church. And we need to grow the ministry. And we need to win this world for Christ. We need to win the world for Christ. Jesus had a purpose and a reason why he wanted to heal them. Because he healed them and then he fed them. And I've been praying about some stuff. And God gave me this phrase, and we're going to use it when we do our outreach. And it's going to be called Praise Him in the Park, is what we're going to do. And the whole theme of that Praise Him in the Park is going to be the mission. The mission is not only to reach those that don't know him, but for those to reconnect back to him. You know, Jesus taught us, he says, I have a burden for people. And this is what he says. And he wanted to heal them. You see, I believe we've lost the burden to help people. Because we're so, as Victor says, we're such in a place right now that everything is so much more important than going to church. It's true. If we closed church right now and went to Walmart car parking lot is full. What's that place I always tell you? Main Event is full on a Sunday morning. And now, I don't know if you saw on the news the other night, but now they're bringing a Mario Andretti Park to Grand Prairie. They're building that rock climbing place, Vic. They're putting all this other stuff in. So they're doing all this stuff to cater to people's entertainment. It's going to be like the entertainment capital. It's looking like a little Plano is what Grand Prairie is. So don't tell me that while they're doing that, we can't do that here. This is not it for me. I don't care if we got 5 people here this morning or 25 people this morning. We have to stay committed to what God's called us to do. Watch this. Number 2. Read that, Ron. We have to have a need to be unified. That's the one thing that Satan wants to do to separate us, okay? Is if he can bring division, guys, he can separate us. You know, and I'm telling y'all, there's some people that you're not going to change. Come on, somebody. There's some people that you can lead them to water and they refuse to drink. I'm at a place in my life that whether it's my son, my daughter, my whatever, I can lead them, but I can't feed them. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm at a place where I'm 54 years old. I want to have peace in my life. And we have to have a unified spirit. We have to hang around like-minded people. Don't tell me you won't get confused and won't fall away if you hang around a spirit that's not right for you. People don't understand this. Spirits are real, y'all. Amen? I've had people in this church that left this church. Called them and asked them, why, what's going on here? You're coming to church? Well, you know, I met somebody. and we have to be faithful where God has called us to. Someone say, don't be selfish, but be unified. What that means, it's not about you. We have to learn not to have no doubt, guys. If you believe that God can and God will, you have to do it. Watch this. I want to focus on this for the next few moments. When he saw the great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. We have to have the kind of passion and not doubt. Look at this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Someone say prosper. In all things. This is what he said. I pray that you may prosper. Here's what he says. In all things and be in what? Health. Just as your soul prospers. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I've often said this. What good is a man to gain the whole world that loses his own soul? Mm-hmm. We've come to a place where it's sad. It's because the thing about it is, we will read the first page of a story and go to the last page and not read what happens what's in between and think we know the story. You can't be reading a book and go all the way to the end and say that was a good book and not read nothing in between. See, everybody has a story, but you don't know everybody's story. Come on, somebody. And we have to come into a place that God is trying to write your story. He's trying to get you to do some great things, but you're doubting. Watch this. Someone say, don't doubt. God will provide. Read that, Ron. But when he saw the multitude, going back to that word, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Read that statement, Vic. There's no lack of people wanting to learn about Jesus. Come on. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm telling y'all. When we have this outreach in about a month, probably in a couple weeks when we get everything together, everybody's going to come for a free hot dog. Everybody's going to come for a free hamburger. Everyone's going to come let their kid jump in a bounce house. Right? I don't want to just feed them. I want to minister to them. I don't want to see if they don't have a church home, will they want to come here and visit us? You see, it's okay to have fun and feed them. But you also got to share them about who provided this. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I prayed hard about, let me tell you something, I like money like everybody else. I'm like glow when it comes to money. Three things you don't mess with. You don't mess with my Jesus, my family, and my money. I gave it up this week. But someone say, but God. You see, I'm going to mess you up. God said, let me see how much faith you really have. Give it all up and watch me provide. Come on, somebody. I'll guarantee you, if Victor called Glow, hey, babe, I'm giving up $2,300. Are you 23 what? Now you better get back on that road. Guys, I'm trying to tell you, this came out of nowhere. God always has a ram in the bush. God always has something else available for you. And if everything goes right, instead of having five companies, your pastor is going to have one main one and one side one and making double what I was making with all of them, Glow. Come on, somebody. If that's a prayer for me this weekend, keep praying that until 1 o'clock tomorrow. Because guess who else is going to be blessed? Because he'll take my other two companies. And I'm not mean just a little bit. He'll have the whole kit and caboodle. Then he'll work like me. Then he'll be calling me, Pastor, I don't know how you do it. I'm tired. He tells me right now, I don't know how you do it, Pastor. Y'all, I had 110 patients 2 weeks ago. 110. And so when y'all would call him, I wouldn't pick up. Well, what's going on, Pastor? He's not picking up. It's not that I didn't want to pick up. Like I'm strung out. Okay? Someone said the harvest is truly plentiful. But the laborers, look around. That's a true statement this morning. Someone say the laborers are few. Matthew 9:38. I pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to. I pray that the Lord of the harvest, which is the body of Christ, will send out laborers into the harvest. Let me just tell you what God put in my spirit. We have to quit doubting that God can do it. Quit complaining about what you ain't got and start believing God for it. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you right now, God, I don't know what God is doing, but there's just some things that God is wanting me to do and to move forward in some stuff. And it just got to be a place that I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And I might lose some friendship and I might lose some people. But it's okay, because at the end of the day, I got to do what's right for me and my God. Come on, somebody. I felt so convicted yesterday, Elder Vic, when I saw that guy out there preaching. I was like, man, this guy is taking, and he was there from the moment we got there to the moment we got home, leave the fair. He was out there all day preaching. Mm-hmm. They were tag teaming preaching, the old man and the younger guy. And people walk on by mocking him. When it was the evening, once again telling them they wanted to eat. What do you want us to do? Go, and he said, can't do that. I'm just going to repeat the scripture, but look at this. He said, bring it to me. You see, our biggest hindrance from getting what we need from God is doubt. Okay? I wish I could bottle what happened Tuesday night. I wish I could. And I'm not just saying to make it up, because who was there. There was Don and Benita could witness. There was such an event. There was such a strong anointing there, Victor. They sat back down and wanted me to keep preaching after altar call. Nobody left. I finally had to say, leave, bye, we'll see you next month. Am I right, Benita?
Right.
They didn't want to leave, Victor. The anointing was so strong. The Spirit of God was there so strong. And Jesus was so prevalent in that place Tuesday night that folks didn't want to leave. It's powerful. And why or how have we forgotten to praise him? Mm-hmm. There's always a time when someone needs a preacher. Does anyone want to guess? Mary, Barry, and Carrie. They need a preacher to marry them, preacher to bury them, and a preacher when they're going through something to carry them in prayer or whatever. That's the only time I get a call. Hey, Pastor Mike, what are you doing on Saturday, August 5th at 2 o'clock? Why? Well, we need someone to marry us. I ain't seen you in church in months. Oh, we were planning on coming back. Right! Or, of course, Barry. You know what is the hardest thing about being a pastor? It's not preaching and teaching and studying the Word. And I'm just going to be transparent this morning. It's trying to keep my spirit right because I get so disappointed. Victor, I know you felt that, brother. And I'm telling you, I'm a person that I'm kind of like the way Jesus feels in this text. I have such a burden to reach people. Someone told me, you just like preaching, Dad. Yeah, I do. So my son told me. You just like be up there preaching. Yes, I do. I love sharing the gospel. And I should, because I'm a preacher. How can they hear unless they be a preacher? Right, Glow? That's what the word says, right, Ron? But I also have a burden for people to get the right life with Christ. Let me tell you something, y'all. Dallas Cowboys ain't gonna save you. Definitely not the Denver Broncos. They don't even know how to play football right now. I'm just telling my team, all right? But we have to get back to having a burden. And this is the last part that I want to share on this. And having a compassion for what God's called us to do. One of the biggest hindrances that Satan tries to put in us is that we doubt that God can do it. Someone write that down and say, we doubt that God can do it. Don, what do you need? What do you need? No, that's a lie. It's a lie. Okay, I'll go to the next one. What do you need? What do you need? All right, took too much time. You don't know what you need. Kim, what do you need? No, I don't want to hear that. I'm telling y'all, y'all are too churchy for me. What do you need, Vic? What kind of blessings? That's what I'm talking about. That's what. See how specific he is? No, you missed your turn. Let me tell you what I need. I'll come back to you. I'm just messing with you. I'll come back to both of y'all, so think about it, amen? Definitely come back to her. Let me tell you what I need. I need a job that I could work less and make more money. That's what I need. I'm not ashamed of it. I want a job that I can pay my bills, go on vacations twice a year, come on, Vic, pay my tithes, have a good life, and enjoy myself, but I don't want to kill myself doing it. That's what I need, and by God, that's what God's about to give me. Come on, somebody. God is a God of specifics. We pray all the time, God, you didn't give me what, you didn't, God, I need a blessing. God said, I woke you up this morning, there, you're blessed. Come on, you didn't ask me for everything. What do I need? I need more of Jesus, okay? We all need more of Jesus. What else? Seriously, we it's funny, right? It's funny, right? God is a God of specifics. What do you need? I told you, I need a job that pays me more, that I don't have to kill myself. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to be able to provide for what I need. You have not, because you ask not, and when you ask amiss. You doubt that God can do it because we want to look like a good little Christian. Come on, Glow, this is good. I know Glow's feeling this this morning. That's right. God said, you ask God, see, God is a God. See, the problem is we doubt in what that God can do. Listen to the text. What do you have? What do you have? Read it, Vic. Someone say fact. Kim, say fact. The fact is, they only had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus said, I don't care what you have. I need you to know what you have. Get in my spirit, church. Man, the Holy Ghost is in me. You better watch out. Better keep this aisle clear. What do you have? He said, if you will take what you have now and give it to me, I will stretch it according to your need. Show me the text, Glow. Show me the text where Jesus said it's not enough. I dare you to go to the Bible right now. Show me the text, Elder Ron, where it says it's not enough. He said, what do you have?
We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Even
before he gave it to them, they were.
We only have 5 people in church. Why leave the church open?
Doubters, man! What's the purpose of even going to church?
Yeah, nobody's going to come.
Doubters! Doubt! That's what Satan does to us. And for those watching online, you're doubting right now. I'm getting all kinds of comments, I'm sure. Someone say, what do you have? He said, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it here to me. Jesus don't look at where he's at. He's looking about where, my God. He don't look where he's at, Benita. He looks what once he gives it to God, what God can do. We have to make a sacrifice to get something from God. Church. He said, bring it here to me. Now this is going to mess you up. Someone say, mess me up, Pastor. Before the blessing, he prepared them for it. My God, you better hashtag that. Someone say, before the blessing, he prepared them. He's preparing them to receive the blessing. Jesus never doubted that he was going to increase the loaves and the fish. What did he do? He sat them on the ground and got them ready to receive the blessing that's about to come their way. Everybody is doubting that they're going to get something to eat. Can you imagine the Texas State Fair, Victor? And I got up there by Big Tex and said, I'm about to bless everybody with a corn dog, and all I got is 3, but this is going to spread to everybody. They would probably call the police and send me to the same asylum. But what if I'd have got, I said, I got 3 corn dogs. But if you stand here, this is going to multiply, and everybody's getting a free corn dog. They think I'm crazy, right? Jesus tells them to sit down on the grass because I'm about to bless you. This has nothing to do with what he had. It has everything to do with what he knew his God could do. Some of you are in a place right now that you're doubting that God can do it. And he's about to show you he can. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. Maybe you need this as a help. Give me 3 people very quickly. 3 people. Come on. Come on. 3 people. Don't even jump at once. Watch this. Stand here, Don. Face the crowd. Get behind her. In a row, guys. In a front. In a row. In a row. Watch this. Okay. She don't know what they have. You understand that? Okay? She don't know. They don't know what she has. All she knows is what she has. Okay? But she has something that God can increase. Come on, church. But watch this. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed it. Bless it, Don. No, bless it. Raise it up to God and bless it. And the disciples gave it to the multitude. Now watch this. When you have loaves of bread, so you have the 5 loaves. You have the 2 fish. Good. Now, that's what I was looking for. Pick that up, sir. Pick it up. Now watch this. Someone say, she has the loaves. He has the fish. But God has the rest. You better get this. The blessing starts when he gave it to God. See, someone say the part of the whole is part of the sum. So whatever comes out of the original blessing is going to go to him. It's going to go to him. Come on, somebody. The part of the whole is part of the sum. Okay? So what you have to understand is it don't matter if this line was all the way out the front door. If you believe that you're part of the original blessing, then whatever comes out of the original blessing is going to filter to the rest. So now, Dawn has this, and she gives it to God. Come on. Victor has this and gives it to God. Okay? Now, Ron is playing the part of our creator. Show him what you got.
Everything.
That's right. See, so he has everything. They gave it up with no doubt and gave it back to the hands of God. Now God can disperse it evenly and not stop. Come on, somebody. Now disperse it how you see fit with your people here. See? 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 No, that you have, you're right. Look what he's doing. It started with three. Come on, this is good teaching. It started with three, but now three, because of the three obedience. Now, the three, this is going to mess you up. The three turned into six. And six turned into nine. And nine turned into 12. And 12 turned into, and 15 turned in. See, the problem is when we keep it to ourselves and we doubt, we don't have time for God to do it. Come on, so give him a praise. That was a good teaching. Come on. When we doubt, church, when we doubt, look at this, I'm closing. When we doubt, thank you, Elder Ron, how does three go into six? You have not because you ask not. It has to go back to the Creator in order for him to disperse it evenly. When he blessed it with his Father, God multiplied it in heaven. It didn't start with what he had. It starts with what he believes. You have to take what you have and don't doubt and believe that God can do it. Let me tell you what it takes to change someone's mind about God. Not your preaching. Not your, oh, you're going to hell in a henbasket. No. Living in front of him, that's it. That's it. Let me tell you something. I am no different than I am outside of this church. We know. I'm still praying for me, amen? I'm ready, Vic. You see, We doubt, church. We doubt. I was here at 9:30 for intercession prayer. I just began to weep and began to cry. And God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He said, son, tell them they don't know what's coming on them. They have no idea what's ahead. You know, this world is fighting over racism, equal rights. We're fighting over, I mean, I was at the store the other day and these two people started fighting because they were both running to the register. And she was about to knock this woman cold. I was going there. Just because she wanted to get one car shopping cart ahead. Rude, blank, to blank, blank, blank. I'm looking back, Vic, I'm like, over one spot? In the grocery line? What'd you do? Save yourself 4 minutes? Life is way too short to worry about that, folks. Because I will let you go with me one day. I will let you go with me one day when I'm pulling up to a house and I knock on the door and they say, the chaplain's here. She's just about gone, Pastor. Glad you came. And a family is standing around this patriarch of this family. And they're saying goodbye to Momo, which is the grandmother or the mom. They ain't worried about getting to Walmart. They ain't worried about going to the cabin. All they're worried about in that moment is, I'm losing my Momo. We don't understand that life is too short to worry about stuff that has no bearing on future consequences. Let them have the extra line in. It doesn't matter. We have to get into a place of having compassion and being on fire for the Lord. Let's stop doubting. I want you to do something this week for your pastor. I don't want you to pray for you or your family. You can in your own time. But I want 1 hour a day this week from every person in this church right now. Don't pray for Pastor Mike. Don't pray for you. I need you to pray for this church and this city that we can grow this ministry. I need you to pray for your church that the harvest is plenty. But we need some laborers in this ministry. That's what I want you to do for me this week. I want us to quit doubting that God can do it and knowing he's going to provide. Listen to me. We don't have no time to waste, church. If it's God's plan to move us from here, he'll do it. I'm not worried about it. I don't doubt anything. But there's only one thing I don't doubt in my life right now. That I'm not going to stop preaching. If it's not here, somewhere else, Victor. There's another location. I don't know. But you ain't ever going to stop this mouth. I'm telling you the truth. I got equipment back there. I'll go to the park on Sunday. Because I saw it done yesterday. They had a box that he was carrying around. The Lord is coming. That was his ministry. We don't have air conditioning again this morning. They said they fixed it, but I guess it didn't turn on. And we're complaining. God convicted me. We're here for an hour with no air. He was out for 7 hours with no air. God said, you're complaining about the wrong thing, son. That the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. We can go to family functions. But I'm going to get some more business cards. I need every one of you to have a stack of 100 cards. I ordered them. I also ordered some new welcome packs. They'll be here like Thursday. Okay, what I need you to do is help me grow this ministry. We're worried about other stuff. We need to grow this ministry. That's what we need to do. We need to have a burden for the city, and we need to quit doubting that God can do it. Because why? Because I've seen what this ministry can do on a Tuesday night. It just happened this past Tuesday. And I know, I don't know what it is, Vic, but there, bro, it's like, man, they're so hungry for the word, bro. I mean, the Holy Ghost is so awesome there, man. I just preached out of my mind on Tuesday. And the Holy Ghost used this ministry, and they were weeping and crying at the altar. And I mean, one girl, she just couldn't get up off the ground, and she was weeping and crying. And I'm talking real tears, y'all. You know what I'm talking about, Benita? The young girl that came at the last, and she was just weeping, man, weeping, crying. And Christ was glorified that day. All we can do is, I'll see you next week. Have a blessed week. Come on, get over yourself. Let's make an impact. You know, we have to have a mission. And our mission is to save the lost. If I asked you a question this morning, do you know it? What is our mission statement? Matthew what? 16. And what? 25. What does it say? Right there. Whosoever will save his life for my sake will lose it. It's about him. My last statement is this. Jesus taught his disciples that day, I'm teaching you not to doubt from this moment on. If you didn't learn anything else from the sermon and those online, let the doubt go. Please let the doubt go. If God is for us, who could be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Some would say, without God, you won't make it. Come on up here, Vic. Come on up here, Elder Ron. I'm going to have y'all lay hands on me for tomorrow. I don't think I've ever wanted a position more than I do tomorrow. Seriously. Because I'm telling you, I get it. I'm done. I'm done with all those other companies because I'm tired. And I want to live. I want to enjoy my life. I don't want to have to work from 7 o'clock in the morning till 9, 10 o'clock at night charting. I'm tired, guys. I'm tired. I can't be everybody to everybody. I'm barely keeping this ministry going. I'm just tired. Pray for me, please. Anything to share, share it. If you have anything to share, I want y'all to share this morning before we close. If you have something to share, go ahead.
we all ask certain things out of God, and I'm standing here as bear witness to you. I'm going to try to make this as quickly as possible, because it is a long story, because it was a long journey. I took on a football team, and I've shared this part with you before, that didn't know how to play football, but they were a team. And this team had never moved the ball over 1 yard. And when I took over this team, we had what was called a draft, where you had to bring